Okay, everybody all set. Well, for those who don't know me, my name's Thad Polk. For most of you, I'm probably better known as Norma's husband. But during Lent, Bruce Franson and I are team teaching a 6-week course on Christian personal relationships. And so we'll meet every Wednesday night during Lent, and we'll also have a repeat class on Sunday mornings at 9:15. Now, the goal of this course, the 6-week course, is to talk about how we as Christians should treat other people, and especially how we should treat each other. Because it's pretty different from the lessons we get from society. So we want to try to distinguish the way society typically teaches that that people treat each other from the way that the Bible says Christians should treat each other. So we'll talk about a number of different topics throughout the course. We'll talk about how to speak to each other, how to honor others, that's our topic today, how to work out personal conflicts, how to relate differently to those in the church and those outside. Well, last week Bruce introduced the course and he talked about learning to love one another. This week we're going to be talking about showing honor and respect to each other. So with that intro, why don't we pray before we start? Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for bringing us here and for making us a family, for making us brothers and sisters, eternal brothers and sisters. And Lord, we pray that you would teach us how to love each other the way that you want us to, and the way that you modeled for us. Pray that you bless our time together tonight. We do offer it up to you and just invite you to use it powerfully. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Okay, well, I am a psychology professor at Michigan, and one thing I always do whenever I teach a course is start with a demo. So we're going to have a little demonstration here on outdoing one another in showing love, which is our topic. So Cross and Resurrection, I think you would agree, is blessed with a bunch of really godly people who deserve some honor for their character, for their virtue. And so I wanted to take just a minute for us as a body to begin practicing outdoing one another in showing honor. So I'd like to invite us to sort of share people in our community, talk about other people in our community that you really admire. Not because of their achievements, but because of their character, because of their virtue. And so I can get us started, and then I'll open it up to the audience. But personally, I really admire Gene and Myra Dennis. They don't know me that well, but I'm sure you've had the same experience. Whenever you run into them, they make time for you. And they are the warmest people in the world. I just really admire you guys. So let me open it up. Who do you admire in our congregation and why? Yeah. Amen.
And I meet James wherever it is, and he immediately changes my mood and my attitude to one of gladness and happiness and joy.
Amen. Amen. Who else? Norm.
I would like to honor Wendy. And she always puts others before herself. And she's been very busy with taking care of Nancy right now.
Amen. Amen. Others? Yeah.
Us to a lot of events,
Amen. Amen. And I might just conclude with the Nickelbeins. I mean, what do you have to say about the Nickelbeins? But what an amazing family. I mean, I don't know how this church would run without all the service that Paul puts in. And, the whole family. And let's not even mention the whole Upward basketball program, which is just one of the most amazing ministries to kids I've ever seen. And despite all of that work, they managed to raise these truly godly kids, and it's an inspiration. Okay, so wasn't that powerful? That was powerful to me, I'll tell you. Hearing about godly people in our community is powerful. And this, I think, is what the lesson tonight is about. It's outdoing each other in showing honor, you know, in honoring each other and because of each other's virtue, and showing respect for those that we should show respect to. One important lesson I want to draw out from that is that expressing love, like we just did, strengthens love. Right? So, it's one thing to love other people, but when you express it, I think there's kind of a snowball effect, right? Where there's kind of a pay it forward kind of thing. Wow, that person, showed real honor and respect for me. I want to do the same. Not necessarily even for them, but for somebody else. And it kind of snowballs and can create a real sense of community in the body. So let me open it up to the following question. What are some ways that we show love to each other and can show love to each other? What are some sort of practical things that we can do to show that we love each other and honor each other? Yeah, Meyer. Okay. So, yeah, keeping track of somebody, calling them up, find out how they're doing. Sure. What else? Great one, James. Amen. Yeah. As a matter of fact, you could, James. Yeah, great suggestion. So serving, right? I mean, offering your service to other people. That's a great way to show, a very tangible way to show love. What else? Praying for people, absolutely. Being with them in tough times and going to the Lord together. Absolutely, it can be a very powerful way of showing love. Okay, so all of these are great ways to show love, which we may actually get to in subsequent weeks. What we want to focus on today is showing honor and respect as a way of expressing our love for each other. So our modern Western society that we live in, I think, rarely honors in a scriptural way, right? So if you had to think of what are the biggest honors in American society, so not, you know, in the church, but what do people outside of the church, what would they say are some of the greatest honors that you could receive? Okay, winning American Idol. Great example. Great example. What else? Yeah. Nobel Prize. Perfect example. Being president. Great. So notice that all of these honors are based on achievements, right? Are based on some sense of worldly success. And in particular, they're not based on character. In fact, I think you'd probably agree that some of our most honored people are not people whose character we really respect. I think, for example, of a number of professional athletes who maybe they've won a Super Bowl or they've won the Masters golf tournament, for example. But, you know, morally, they're not somebody that, I would look up to in terms of their character, right? So we need, as Christians, we need to make sure we're clear on this distinction between the kinds of honor that the world offers and the kind of honor that Scripture talks about and that we want to honor in our community. Okay, so here's a quote from Romans 12:10 that is actually the title of our lesson today. Love one another with brotherly affection, outdo one another in showing honor. It's almost as if Paul is trying to set up a competition among the Roman Christians to see who can show the most honor for each other, who can show the most love and respect for each other. And I suspect the reason is because of the potential for a snowball effect, that it's really going to change that community. And that's one of the goals of this course, is that we would begin to develop a more loving community, a community that really does put these kinds of ideas into practice. Another point that's important to keep in mind is that it's possible to love someone without necessarily honoring them. Can you think of any examples where you do love somebody and you express love, but you're not necessarily honoring them in some way? Any thoughts? Myra? Sure. So, yeah, I think in family relationships, oftentimes we'll be very loving, but we're not necessarily trying to show honor. So what we're going to be talking about today is mostly showing honor. I think also of, say, you could imagine, ministering to retired people or something, going to, let's say, a retirement home, ministering there, showing love. But I could imagine people doing that without necessarily showing honor, although hopefully they would, but you could imagine, you know, the compassion and so on, but without necessarily the respect, okay? So they're different things, and what we're talking about today is actually showing that honor and respect. Now, another important theme for tonight's lesson is respecting those who are over us. Okay, so what we mean by that is people who are in some position of authority over us. So, for example, children's relationship to their parents. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 says, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And I contend that this kind of respect of children for their parents may actually be declining over time. So just a personal anecdote from my own life. So I was born and raised in Richmond, Virginia, in the South. And it was in the 60s and 70s when I was a kid. And in my school and in my community, children were definitely expected to show respect for adults in a way that at least my kids don't now. So, for example, in my school, whenever an adult entered the classroom, all the kids had to stand up. Yes, yes. No, it is not like that anymore. Absolutely right. We also were expected to refer to adults as sir and ma'am. Okay, so all of our teachers in school, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Right, so, and in fact, many of my friends, I'm kind of ashamed that I didn't, but many of my friends referred to their parents that way. Can you imagine? Children referring to their parents as yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Just by way of contrast today, so last night I was getting my 11-year-old daughter, Lydia, some whipped cream for something, and I accidentally spilled a little bit on her. Her reaction was a single word, "Dude!" That's, you know, a little bit different than, "Yes, sir." All right. So children respecting their parents, that maybe has changed a little bit. Another theme, I think, is respecting Christian leaders. So our pastor, our elders. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says, "But we beseech you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. I think sometimes we don't always think of Christian leaders as being over us and as being due obedience, actually. But I think the scripture does describe it that way. And we should always strive to honor and respect our Christian leaders, our pastor, our elders, all of our Christian leaders. So, you know, I think that's something that we as a community at Cross and Res want to strive for, that we show appropriate respect and obedience for our Christian leaders. A third place where we want to show respect is governing authorities. This one's a little bit more controversial, but Romans 13, verse 7 says, "Pay all of them their dues, taxes to whom taxes are due, revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, honor to whom honor is due." Similarly, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, "Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor." The emperor wasn't always that friendly to Christians, but honor the emperor. Romans chapter 13 again, first two verses. "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." This is another issue that I don't think is talked about that much these days. We come from societies where governmental authorities aren't always highly regarded, and admittedly, sometimes for good reason. Often they're not people of high moral character. But nevertheless, based on Scripture, it sounds like God is interested in good order in society and in showing appropriate respect for those who are leaders over us. Now, that's not to say that if a leader expects you to do something against the will of God, then obviously God is a higher authority. But the point is that we should be good citizens and respect those who are in authority over us. I actually think other cultures are often better at this than American society. So another personal anecdote. So working at the University of Michigan, it's actually not at all uncommon for my students to refer to me by my first name. In fact, all of my graduate students in my lab who work with me do call me Thad. And, you know, that's fine with me. I would actually feel a little uncomfortable if they didn't. But in Germany, it's a very different situation. So I sometimes visit Berlin and do work over there. And there, the respect for structure and for the hierarchy is very strong. So they don't call me just Dr. Polk or Professor Polk. They call me Herr Dr. Professor Polk. Okay, so that's compared, you know, America, Thad, Germany, Herr Dr. Professor Polk. It's quite the contrast. Similarly, my experience has been that Asian cultures are much more respectful of authority than are modern Americans. In fact, my wife can probably confirm that many Asian languages actually use different words to denote respect. So, for example, older brother versus younger brother might be completely different words in a language to sort of demonstrate respect for the elder brother. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. So let's begin talking about how to actually show honor. What are some practical things we can do? And let's actually take an example from Abraham and from one of the scriptures that we read during the service. So from Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 to 8, and then again verse 16. "And the Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men stood in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the earth, and said, My Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I fetch a morsel of bread, that you may refresh yourselves. And after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, Do as you have said. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, Make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Then the men set out from there, and they looked towards Sodom, and Abraham went with them to set them on their way. So, what can we learn from this example? In what ways did Abraham honor his guests? What kinds of things, practical things, did he do to show honor?
Bowed to them.
Yeah. Absolutely. He made a really nice meal. The fatted calf, as it were. What else?
Water to wash their feet.
Notice he actually refers to them as their servant. Okay? Do not pass by your servant. Okay? Bowed to them, fed them with the best meal. Oh, he went to greet them instead of waiting for them to come. Right, so once he sees them, he actually walks out and goes out to greet them. So what are some lessons that we can draw? Well, one thing is clearly service is one of the most basic ways that we can show honor to other people. Abraham here obviously goes out of his way to serve these visitors and as a way to try to show honor to them. Another lesson I think we can take here is how we serve. Like, what spirit do we serve with? So sometimes we might serve kind of reluctantly, right? And we say, well, yeah, it's the right thing to do, but boy, I don't want to wash this pot right now, right? Well, that's not the attitude that Abraham had here, right? He is gung-ho and enthusiastic. And I think that's a lesson for us, right? That when we serve, we should also serve with enthusiasm. So again, let me open it up to the audience and invite an opportunity to outdo each other in showing love. Who in our community do you think illustrates this kind of Abraham-like service to others? Chris Stauffer. Amen to that. Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, I thought of the Distelzweigs and the way they serve brunch. Very enthusiastic. Similarly, the Gaties, Kevin and Meredith. There you go. This is the example. And it's clear we're already... we have many people in our community who do this, and it's an opportunity for us to honor them and thank them and make it explicit. You know, just speak it. You know, say how much you appreciate it, and it can, you know, make a big difference in our community. Yeah. Yes. That's a very good point. That's a very good point. That maybe the appropriate response oftentimes it should just be, oh, well, thank you so much, you know, but not, oh, don't do that, you know. That's a great point. I'm sorry? It is humbling. Absolutely is humbling. Okay. So let's turn to some simple ways that we can honor people in daily life. So Abraham had this special occasion. These visitors were coming. What about just in day-to-day life? Your outline lists a number of simple things that we can do. So, for example, introduce people who don't know each other. Very simple little thing, but it sort of makes these people know that they're welcome. It invites them into the conversation, right? Because now they have at least been introduced, and so it makes sense for them to join in the conversation together. And it, you know, it just shows a concern for this other person, that you're actually thinking about them. Similarly, when we speak with other people, paying attention to what they actually say and not interrupting, you know, letting them complete their thoughts and trying not to dominate the conversation, I think is an important skill to actually show honor just in a day-to-day simple way. If we pay attention to somebody, then we're showing that we think what they're saying is important and we value them, and that implicit message is conveyed. We've talked a lot about service, so being ready to serve and attentive, looking for opportunities to serve other people. We can sort of always be asking ourselves, how can we serve other people? Oftentimes the answer may be, there's nothing you can do right now. But the fact that we're sort of looking for those opportunities is an indication that we value these other people and that we value our relationships with them. Accepting the order of situations as we enter and participate. What does that mean on your list? Well, what this means is, suppose you come into a new situation where you're sort of the new person, and there's a bunch of people who have been in this situation before. So maybe you go over to a friend's for dinner, and you've never been there before, okay? And their family has a certain way of interacting. Well, one way of showing honor is to respect the way that they do things and try to fit in as opposed to sort of do it your way, right? And that even goes true for groups of people who are just maybe informally getting together. Even in such cases, we don't want to just barge in and sort of dominate, but we want to join the group and gradually participate when there's an opening. Another one that's listed there is avoiding humor that is indirectly dishonoring. So negative humor. What do I mean by that? I was trying to think of a good example of this, and I think I once saw a spouse, I won't say which gender, watching their partner backing up from something and started going, beep, 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 right? So kind of funny. It wasn't, you know, I'm sure it wasn't meant in any kind of mean way, right? But that's the kind of negative humor that's being referred to here, where it's implicitly insulting, right? And I guess the bottom line is, you know, maybe that's kind of borderline, and we want to be more virtuous than that. We don't want, those kinds of things could easily leave a residue of bad feeling. Okay, and then finally, showing special courtesy to the opposite sex. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7 says, "Likewise, you husbands, live considerately with your wives, bestowing honor on the woman as the weaker sex, since you are joint heirs of the grace of life, in order that your prayers may not be hindered." Similarly, on the other side, Proverbs 31, verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." Ephesians 5:33. "However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." So we can see that in Scripture, we're supposed to honor members of the opposite sex in a somewhat different way, I would argue, than we honor members of our own sex. We certainly want to honor members of our own sex, but there's a distinct way of honoring members of the opposite sex, which is scriptural and God-given. Norma?
I've seen that a lot.
Yeah, I can't remember that happening to me, but I'm willing to take that chance. Okay. Showing honor for accomplishments, but accomplishments of character. So we talked about this distinction where the world tends to honor accomplishments in the worldly domain of, you know, sports or a Nobel Prize or whatever. But Scripture says we want to honor godly character and people who fear the Lord. So, for example, Proverbs 26 says, like snow in summer or rain in harvest, so honor is not fitting for a fool. Now, fools in Proverbs are not stupid people. What fools in Proverbs are, they're people who don't obey the Lord. Okay, so these are people who are not sort of living for God. And those are the people, according to Scripture, that don't really merit honor. So presumably the people who do are those who do obey the Lord. And in fact, if you look at Psalm 15, verse 4, it gives special praise to those who honor those who fear the Lord. Okay, so that's the criterion that we should be using for honoring other people. And furthermore, when we honor people because of accomplishments of character, of virtue, of being godly, then we're going to encourage them to persevere in that way. We're going to inspire them to try to be even more godly, right? And others are going to want to imitate, too. When they see people being honored for their virtue, children are going to want to be virtuous, right? And others who respect those people, okay? Obviously, this is very different from the approach out there, out of these walls, right? So we need to keep these in mind, that what we need to honor is godliness and virtue, not necessarily making $1 million, okay? Okay, now part four, let's talk about how we can show respect to those over us, those who are in authority, in a position of authority over us. What kinds of things can we do in practice to show respect? So we've talked a little bit about showing respect for God, for Christian leaders, for elected officials, but I think the principle is actually more general. So Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 and 7 says, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I'm a father, where's my honor? And if I'm a master, where is my fear? Now, a master in that domain might be, in our society, might be closer to, say, an employer. Okay, so do we show appropriate respect for our employers, you know, for our boss, right? That person may not be a godly person, but nevertheless, we could be a witness by demonstrating respect for that person because of their authority over us. Another one that I think is important and often undervalued in our society is showing respect for those people who are older than us. Deuteronomy 28:50 says, regard the person of the old. Lamentations 5:12, they showed no respect, or no respect is shown to the elders. This was a problem. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall rise up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. God's telling us to honor older people. Now, the respect that we show to older people doesn't necessarily always involve, you know, obeying them or whatever, but just showing, it's a way of expressing respect. This is another situation where I think older cultures are much better at it than we are. I know my wife is very good about showing respect for her older relatives. Yeah, Norma? Oh, yeah. Yep. Okay, let's talk a little bit about showing respect and how we relate to each other. So, point one, obeying in a respectful way to the to the degree that obedience is due. So we've already said we don't necessarily give unlimited obedience to any human being that has authority over us. That obedience is given to God. But we are supposed to obey different people in different ways. And when we do, we should obey respectfully. So again, this is a question of your spirit in it. When do you obey grudgingly? Yes, you're obeying, but you obey grudgingly. Or do you obey in a manner that, you know, expresses respect and that is a good witness, if you will? Another way that we can show respect to those that are over us is by giving them precedence, like letting them go first or going to meet them as Abraham did, right? So when he saw these visitors a long way off, he went to them. That's a way of showing respect for people that were over him. So when we're with someone who is in authority over us, right? Maybe somebody who's older than us or somebody who's in a position of authority over us, then we ought to try to let them go first and in some sense go out to meet them, just like Abraham did. Let them take the initiative to direct the conversation and in general express implicitly the fact that we think they're important, right? They're first. They're the priority. Similarly, when someone is teaching, okay, when somebody in authority is teaching, I can tell you this firsthand, it's kind of annoying when a student tries to correct you, right, when you're teaching, right? And there's a right way to do that. There's a respectful way to, you know, make suggestions and so on without undermining the authority of the person who is teaching. Serving them, obviously, is a great way to demonstrate respect. So when somebody is over you or has authority and we can serve them in some way and try to, you know, serve them as opposed to having them serve us. You know, we might want to open doors for them, get things for them, clear the way for them, right? Those kinds of examples. And also speaking and acting in a way that increases others' respect for those people. Okay, so when your boss is away, right, do you, you know, speak to other people, other employees, in a way that shows respect for your boss, right, or for somebody who's in authority over you, or for Pastor Brian, right, when Pastor Brian's not there and we're talking, obviously we should talk in a way that demonstrates respect for Pastor Brian. There's a flip side to this. So there are people who are under you in some sense, where you have some position of authority over them. And how are we supposed to treat those who are under us? Well, we should also show honor for them. So we don't necessarily give them that special respect that somebody above us has, but we do want to give them honor. So here's I think your sheet has a few ways that we can show honor to people in our care, if you will, under our authority. Speaking about them in an honorable way. So when I'm thinking about, for example, the students that I supervise, if I'm talking about them with one of my colleagues, do I talk about them in a way that's honorable to them, or do I disparage them or in some way? I should, you know, try to speak about them in an honorable way. Commending them whenever it's deserved. So, you know, try to catch them being good, right? That's common advice for parents. When you see your kids doing something good, try to catch them and commend them for that. Reinforce that. Try to make sure they receive honor when it is deserved. So when somebody who's under your authority does something honorable, you know, try to find ways for them to receive honor. And just speaking to people with common courtesy, parents to their children. You speak in a courteous way when we speak to them. So one final point is that all of these principles about treating other people with honor and trying to outdo each other in showing honor for each other is that all of these need to be of our own free will, right? So we don't do this because we have to do it, right? Or hopefully we don't. We don't just say, well, okay, here's my set of rules about how I should behave and how I should treat other people. I have to do this, so I'll do it. No, we want to do it of our own free will, right? As free people, we give people honor and respect as free people. That's our choice. We make it. We do it willingly and cheerfully. So servants or slaves maybe were subservient and they had to behave a certain way, right? They might be forced to show some respect. That's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is showing a respect just out of a desire to act in a way that God wants us to act. 1 Peter 2, chapter verse 16 says, right before he exhorts them to show respect for those in authority, Peter says, live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil, but live as servants of God and honor all men. So I pray that as a community, we would outdo each other in showing honor and really value that virtue in each other, recognize it when we see it, point it out, show love for each other, and begin to make our community even more pleasing to God. Just in conclusion, I think it's worth remembering how different this model is than the culture out there. I have to say, sometimes in preparing this and even presenting it, it struck me just what it would be like to give this talk at the University of Michigan, right? I mean, I'm not sure I'd have a job tomorrow. I mean, it's a very different culture, right? It's very, out there, it's very egalitarian. It's inappropriate to say that person's above me or that person, you know, that I want to show respect for that person. You know, show, like Norma was pointing out, open a door for a woman to show respect for the woman that might offend some people. So this is kind of countercultural. But I think in many ways our society is kind of culturally impoverished. And in this church we can sort of try to reverse that and develop relationships that really do please God and that honor these scriptural principles. So let's conclude in prayer. Yes. Yes, absolutely. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Yeah. 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 Immediately after that, I said, dude? And she said, it just came out. Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for this opportunity to get together and talk about honoring each other and showing honor and outdoing each other in showing honor. We know that you want us to be godly, virtuous people who love each other, and that's a really powerful witness to those outside these walls. So God, we invite you to mold us every day into Christ's image, where we do outdo each other in showing honor. And it's in Jesus' holy name that we pray. Amen.